Exodus chapter 16. Sorry, 15. I'll blame the font in my notes again for that. Exodus chapter 15. I'm just going to look very... Exodus. I got it. We're going to look at the topic of healing today. Again, way too large a topic to look at in one fellowship, but again, to remind us of what the Word says and to keep our eyes on what the Word says. In chapter 15, verse 22, it says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" I used to work with a lady named Marah. I never did tell her what her name meant. Yeah, I had work. "And she cried unto the Lord, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken,'" and we'll see this theme in the Word, every record pretty much we look at, right? Where God asks us to take heed to his Word. And every time we do that, what God does on our behalf is above and beyond what we could ever do or think or imagine. Like here, God says, take heed to his Word. Hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Right? That was his approach to Israel. He said, "I'm the Lord that heals you. You want to see the healing and deliverance in your life? Take heed to my word. Stick to my word." And we'll see that theme over and over again in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God," there's that theme again, "to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee." That's kind of cool. "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Didn't he just say that in verse 1? Said it again in verse 2. "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses." You see, when he goes through this, God covers every area of life. You're going to be blessed in every area of your life. He just said, "Take heed to my word." "And in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways." He reminds them again. Right? Because you can start tending to think about all the blessings. Wow, look at all this. And forget what God said. Just take heed to my word. If I want to see blessings in my life, and this is again to Israel, the blessings available to us are even greater because of the work of Jesus Christ. We'll see that. But what do we have to do? That hasn't changed. We take heed to his word. We have to believe what his word says. Verse 10, "And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee." Right. There's no reason for a believer ever to be afraid of anybody. Right. "And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Again, he covers every area of life. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Well, what a great blessed promise. If we take heed to God's word, he says, I will bless all the work of your hand. Well, that's pretty amazing. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Cool. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Look how many different ways God says that he would bless and take care of them, right? If thou, just in case they had forgotten the three times he's already mentioned this, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And by the way, thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Right? But right, it shall come to pass if thou will not hearken unto the voice. We're not going to read the rest of this section too in great detail, but if thou shalt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Weren't they blessed in the city and blessed in the field before? Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Wasn't their basket and store blessed before? Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. See, it's the exact opposite of exactly what we read, right? So you always have two choices in life. I mean, you see this many times in the Word. God says, look, here's a choice. You follow me, this is what happens. You don't follow me, this is what happens. Right. Verse 19. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. And the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, and until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an so forth. Verse 23. And the heaven that is over thee shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. That old expression, you know, the heaven is brass, and nothing, no one's hearing you, right? The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder, and dust from heaven shall it come down till thou be destroyed, and so forth, right? And it goes on and on, right? And there's a whole lot of things associated with not following his word. This is Israel. But just to understand, God says, you follow my word, you come to my word, and that hasn't changed today. If I don't take heed to his word today, I say, who cares, you know? God bless me anyway. I'm mistaken, right? There are certain blessings that everybody gets, of course. But to take heed to his word. Remember Romans we read? I talked about why did God give those guys up? Because they gave him up, right? They weren't thankful. It wasn't God said, heck, no, they gave him up first. It's always man. God is always there ready to bless. And here's an example. He says five times, he goes, just take heed to my word. Here's my word. You do this and look at all the great blessings. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll stop there. You could read the verse of Deuteronomy at bedtime. Hebrews chapter 11. But I read that for a reason. We'll see in a minute here why. Hebrews chapter 11. Read this last week, and I want to read it again. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith or believing, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. A lot of times it says in the word that God calls those things which be not as though they were, you know, which that's what believing is. When you see have a situation in your life, whether it's a need for deliverance or need for healing, need for understanding, whatever it is, right, you're allowed, if the word of God promises it, that's why we say you are healed, because you're allowed to call those things which be not as though they were, because it's promised and backed up by the word of God, right? When God says it, it's like it has already happened, right? And that's believing, because believing brings what is possible into fruition by us confessing what his word says. That's what it is. That's what God did. God said, let there be light. Guess what happened? There was light. Right? Now he says, you're allowed to confess what my word says. Even if you don't see the physical blessing or the reality of it, you and me, we need to confess what his word says if we're ever going to see what his word says to come to pass. Right. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellence. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, and we saw, read that last week. Verse 6, but without believing it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. And sometimes, you know, I think believers, we get afraid of accepting. Sometimes I think we're afraid to get healed, right? If you understand what I'm trying to say. I hope that makes sense, right? Sometimes we're afraid that it won't work so much that we don't get the blessing of it, because we're thinking about that it won't work so much, as opposed to reading what the Word of God says, which says it always works if we look to God. Because here it says, what does God say? He says, verse 6, must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right? We must come to him and believe, first of all, that he is, right? And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's believing. You know, there's a lot of cases in the Old Testament where a lot of the unbelievers, right, didn't believe that he was, did they? Right? They didn't believe that God was. And then you get situations where you had Daniel. Remember Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar? He goes to him and he has this wonderful dream. No one can reveal it until Daniel reveals it. And what does Nebuchadnezzar say? He goes, your God is a God of gods, right? Oh, he's the God. There's no other, that's the guy, right? And then right after that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? What do they say? The burning fiery furnace. What does Nebuchadnezzar again say after delivered? There is no God that delivers after this sort, right? He is the one. He's God. That's our God they're talking about. And they didn't believe that he was. Well, we need to come to him and believe that he is, right? That he will back up that word every single time. I don't care what my experience says, right? We need to be worried, and not worried, but thoughtful and cognizant of what the word of God says, right? That's it. That's the only thing that we should allow to enter into our mind. What does the word say? I don't care about anything, about anybody else's experience. I don't care if you've experienced a lack of it a thousandth. I don't care. What does the word of God say? That needs to be our heart attitude. Isaiah 40. It really always helps. I know it helps me a great deal. Maybe it helps you too. To think about the sheer great power and goodness of God. How great and mighty he is. And to run those kind of verses through our minds when we're in need to see his power work. This has always been a personal favorite of mine. I'm sure we've shared it probably in fellowship 100 times now, but we'll read a couple of verses out of it. In light of coming to God and believing that he is, right? And, you know, running these verses through our minds day in and day out, hour after hour, whenever, every time we have a need. Remember the first basics of believing we learned many years ago for some of us, talking about the Bible tells me so, where, you know, how much of the light do I allow into my life for a particular need? How much do I need? If I have a particular need in my life and it's a serious need, then that might be a case where I need to allow this amount of light into my life. What does that mean? That means that maybe I need to think about more than one verse every week, right? Maybe I got to do 10 verses every hour. I don't know. Whatever it takes for me, right? I know what it takes for me. You know what it takes for you, right? Isaiah 40, verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? You know, these are the kind of things you say to yourself. You know, Raj, have you not known? Have you not heard? That hath not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. This is our God. This is how mighty and powerful he is, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, right? What the world has spent hundreds of billions of dollars in trying to understand, God just puts it aside as a curtain, right? I'll just move these galaxies over here, this over here, right? That's how powerful he is. And spread them out as a tent to dwell in. It's a tent as far as God is concerned. A tent! That bringeth the princes to nothing. No one in the world, no authority, no power, no president, no prime minister, no king, nothing. Nothing in the world can supersede God. He bringeth them to nothing. Right? All their power before God is as nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. All those guys who stand in judgment of believers who you know, run provincial curriculums, you know, who do stuff like this? Nothing as far as God is concerned. You don't honor him. He doesn't honor you. He doesn't honor them, right? As soon as we honor him, he honors us, right? If they don't come to Jesus Christ, I don't care what they do. God will never honor it, right? Verse 28. Has they not known, has they not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he created the ends of the earth. Can he help you? Oh, my goodness, right? Fainteth not. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He is beyond. His ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts. Right? He giveth power to the faint. And, you know, there are a lot of times I fall very much into the faint category. Right? Right? He giveth power to the faint. So when I'm feeling faint, what do I do with my, what do I need to do with mine? I got to put this in my head. Raj, he giveth power to the faint. Yeah, but I don't, he giveth power. Yeah, but last time, he giveth power to the faint. Right? That's what it says. If he lied here, you can throw the rest of it away, right? He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, and to them he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, right? Even those guys who think they have a lot of power, and, you know, all these youths, and we know a lot of those around, you know, a lot of. The Bible says, even they shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. It doesn't matter, it's all physical stuff. But they that wait upon the Lord, right, shall renew their strength, right? So it doesn't matter if you're old or young or whatever. The Bible says your strength will be renewed. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Remember that, again, we talked about this, that the way the eagle mounts into the air. The time the eagle mounts is when there are undercurrents, warm air going up. And what is he doing with his wings at the time? Absolutely nothing, right? He's not going, trying to fly. He just holds his wings steady. And then these upper eddies, those currents, those warm currents, and he mounts up. That's what mounting is, right? It says that we trust him. We're not flapping our wings like crazy. Our wings are steady, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's what happens when we trust in God, right? It's not by our own ability. If it was by our own ability, we would have done it a long time ago, right? In certain cases, right? They shall mount up and run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And that's what we want, right? That's the healing. That's deliverance. Look at Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. The God of all gods, there is none that can deliver after this sort. Right? That's what unbelievers said about him. What should believers be saying about him? Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Remember, who is saying this? God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who, you know, above all understanding, this was his idea. Right? So we take heed to exactly what it says here as much as anything else in God's word. This was his idea. He set this up to bless his people. Verse 6. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, so blood on the sides of the posts and on the upper doorpost and of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. Right? He set this up. It was God's idea. Right? God set this whole thing up where there were the aspects of both the blood and the body. God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do the thing with the blood and the sides and top of the lintel, and I want you to eat the flesh. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Second Chronicles chapter 30. And again, you guys know the records. We won't look at those today. What happened that night in Egypt? The angel of death did pass over, and those who didn't do what God asked them to do died, right? And those who did it were protected. So God covered all the sins of Israel by the blood, and it says in Psalms that when Israel left the next day, there wasn't one feeble person among them, right? Not only were the sins forgiven, but they were totally healed. They were healed. They were whole. They could walk out. There was not one feeble knee among them, right? That's what it says, right? So God did, not only did he take care of the sins, which a lot of people are cognizant of, but he also dealt with physical deliverance for them totally in following the simple instructions that God gave them, right? Here's a Passover in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, many years later, right? It says in chapter 30, verse 1, "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation of Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month." They were supposed to keep it in the first month, right? Remember? This is a little different. "For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not yet sanctified themselves sufficiently." That's why. "Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem." You're going to see in this Passover here, it wasn't quite right, okay? The things, the rules, regulations, if you will, weren't followed quite right. "And the thing pleased the king and the call of the congregation. And so they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written." So all the northern tribes, they were going to send, you know, people, maybe on horses, I don't know, buggies, camels, whatever they did in those days. They would send them all around, inviting all the tribes to come to this Passover, and including the two tribes of Israel and Judah and Benjamin also, right, in the south, right? Verse 6, "So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, you children of Israel, turn again." You see, what is the topic here? Is it just a Passover we're talking? What is it talking about here? Does this sound like Deuteronomy? What did it say? "Look, if you just keep my word, turn to me, I'm going to bless you this way." Right? So they're going to have Passover. So it wasn't just like, come, you know, we're going to do this thing with the lamb, it'll be kind of cool in the flesh. He says, no, he goes, turn to me. Right? That's what it was about. It was to turn to him. "Turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not ye like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into the land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you, if you return unto him." It's always that condition of, and when we go to God, when we go to him, when we honor him, God honors us, right? God honors, says in Hebrews, you know, without believing, it's impossible to please him. So we must come to him and believe that he is. Believe him. Verse 10. "So the posts passed." So here are these guys and horses riding around the town, city to city, throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even to Zebulun. And here's the response. "But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them." Right? Wow. Right. They laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Here was an opportunity for these people to turn to God and to get the blessings God promised, and their response. And this is what, you know, we have to guard against in our life. I have to guard, when I read God's word, I have to guard against in the back of my mind saying, oh, I'm not sure. Does that really work? Is it really true? Right? That's what they were saying, wasn't it? We got to go by what the word of God says. Forget the experience, forget whatever. Got to go by what the word of God says. Right? It's the word, nothing but the word of God. That has to be our standard for thinking, action, constantly, not experience. And if experience happens, line up with the word, fantastic. Still go by the word. Right. verse 11. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. We read last week, you know, where we humble ourselves to God. Some people did hear. And also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart through the commandment of the king, of the princes, by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them in the brook Kidron. They were doing exactly what God told them in Deuteronomy not to do. Right? And so they said, okay, let's get rid of those idols, destroy them. Verse 15. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. It was supposed to be the first month, wasn't it? And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received at the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for every one that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. They hadn't quite done this thing right, okay? It wasn't according to all the regulations, if you will. Yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. So they didn't follow the rules precisely. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepared his heart to seek God. We read that wonderful song we sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness, Thy Mercies Are New Every Morning. Remember that? Right. The Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed, according to the purification of the sanctuary, and the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and did what? Healed the people. See, it's more about turning to God with an open heart to recognize that his word is true, and to humble ourselves before God. It's not so much about getting everything right. We're not going to get, you know, if you think you're going to get everything right in life, right? Forget it now. It's not going to happen. But where's your heart, right? If I show up at fellowship every week and say, oh yeah, isn't God wonderful? Isn't God great? And we talk about how wonderful God is and wonderful his mercy is. Then I go back here and go back to my house and say, oh, I'm so worried about this and worried about that. And this isn't right and that isn't right. And God's never going to come to me. Wow. Well, right. What's the point of that, right? What's the point? It's just a show, isn't it then, right? So only I know in my heart. Only I know and only you know in your heart, right? What it is about God's word that you need to work on, what I need to work on. I know what I need to work on. I'm sure you probably know what I need to work on too. Right? But you know, there are, so, I shared this record because, you know, it wasn't quite perfect, okay? It wasn't quite right. They hadn't quite done it the same right time of the month. They hadn't quite got it right. Maybe they'd forgotten to read the Bible that morning. Maybe they'd forgotten to pray. Maybe they'd been unkind to somebody at work that day. You know, maybe they hadn't shown mercy to somebody. You know, but God is so merciful. He's so gracious. And Hezekiah prayed, and guess what? He pardoned him, and guess what? They got healed. They hadn't been quite cleansed. They got the healing and deliverance, right? So if you think God withholds healing from you because you're a bad person, you don't quite do everything right, or you're mistaken, right? It's got nothing to do with that. It's very simple, right? The Word of God says, here's the promise. You believe this, and this is what happens. So that's it. There's nothing more complicated than that. This is Old Testament. Right? Jesus Christ hadn't yet come and covered for all sin that man ever committed would ever commit. Right? This is Old Testament. Isaiah 52. We've got a few verses to read. We've got to read them. Isaiah 52. Verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, or astonished, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, all the sicknesses and sins of mankind. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just like that Passover lamb we read briefly about in Exodus, right? God laid all of this on Jesus Christ. All our sins, sickness, and iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. That's what the Word of God says. We don't need to look any further beyond that. That's what the Word says, and it's that simple. By his stripes we are healed. Psalm 103. Just like there was the blood we talked about in Exodus and the flesh, so Isaiah talks about the blood of Jesus Christ and talks about his body being beaten. Psalm 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. No, just a simple one, not the difficult ones. All thy diseases. Forgiveth all thine iniquities. Well, this is a really bad one. All thine iniquities. Right? You've never seen the kind of flu that I've had this week. Right? All thy diseases. This is what we do with our minds. Right? I know what our minds do to us sometimes. Right? Not a lot of fun. Right? But what does the Word say? What does it say? Healeth all thy diseases. Forgive us all thy iniquities. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, it really helps because sometimes we think that the problem that we're facing is way too hard for God. You know, sometimes we can't even see in our mind the solution that we want. We can't even see enough to get there, right? We can't. I know. Been there. I think we've all been there. I can't even see that image in my mind. What does it take? The Word. You keep putting the Word on. All thy diseases. Forgives all thy iniquities. You keep putting that on our mind. That's what the Word says. I didn't write it. You didn't write it. We just happened to be sitting around here reading about it. Right? Thanks be to God, right? All. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump for as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Jesus Christ is our Passover, right? And here it's talking about sin in this context here, but you know, Paul saying that, listen, but because of what Jesus Christ did, that's all been dealt with, so we oughtn't be laying this on one another either, right? Because it was dealt with by Jesus Christ, right? Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Didn't we read about the curse? Just briefly. We could have read more. If you wanted to, you can read it yourself. Deuteronomy 20. We read about the curse. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews, right? And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So, what did the curse include? It included all kinds of bad things. It included lack of prosperity. It included being chased by enemies, right? Remember all that stuff? It included a lot of stuff about physical problems, diseases, and all that. And here it says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law that includes all that stuff. Right? That's why it can say, forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. Right? All of them. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I wanted to keep this shorter today, but there were just so many wonderful verses that, verse 20, When you come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. This is Paul writing to Corinthians about the Passover celebration. For verse 21, for eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. He wasn't happy with what was going on. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Right, so when they were eating that bread, it represented his body. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. So he's talking about a celebration that when they would eat, they would do in remembrance of Jesus Christ and his work. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Right? And here, it's exactly the same thing that Moses asked him to do. There was the blood, and there was the body. Right? This is exactly the same thing. Right? But here, it's now for us showing the work of Jesus Christ. Right? That the sins were dealt with, that the healing was now possible. Verse 26, for often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For this is a really important truth here. Not that the other ones weren't, but it's interesting what the word says here. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Right? For this cause, right, remember there are no verse divisions in the Bible, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Right? Here God, by revelation to Paul, ties sickness and death to not understanding what Jesus Christ's body accomplished for us. Right. Pretty powerful, right? Pretty significant, wouldn't you say? I would. So not to look at the negative side of it. So then, if we understand what the Lord's body means, right? What does that mean? It means freedom from sickness and death, right? It means freedom from it. It means deliverance from all sickness. That's what it means. So here, Paul's right. You guys are coming together to have a big meal, get drunk and have lots of wine and bread and eat and drink. You know, and he said, wait a minute, that's not what Jesus Christ died for. That's not what he did. When you eat that bread and drink that wine, he said, this is to get your deliverance. That's what it was for. Right. Matthew chapter 8. When you go to the Word of God, keep your expectancy high. You can be sitting quietly in the comfort of your own study or sitting on a bus somewhere, and when you read those truths, keep your expectancy high. When you say them back to yourself in your mind, keep your expectancy high. Right? 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. All that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. We just read it, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Right? All were healed. Everything. Devil spirits gone, diseases gone, because it lined up exactly with what Isaiah, we read in 53, said that Jesus Christ was going to accomplish, and that's exactly what came to pass. That hasn't changed. The truth is still there. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. I'll just tell you what Matthew 9 said. Remember it talked about that man that was sick and Jesus Christ told him his sins were forgiven him? Right? As a result of his sins being forgiven him, what happened to the man? He was healed, right? Jesus Christ brings both. He brings forgiveness of sins and he brings healing. Here's a record where their sins, forgiveness of sins was required. Maybe believers think that God doesn't heal them sometimes, or there's no healing available, because they think, well, I did that thing, or, you know, how could I possibly get delivered, because I'm not a good person. Well, you know, it can happen, right? Don't let it happen. In Acts chapter 3, remember they healed that man at the gate? We're not going to read that record, but they healed that man. It says his feet and ankle bones received, and he was jumping up and down, and, you know, no physiotherapy, nothing required. Immediate. These are the records we keep in our minds, right? When we have expectancy, these are the kind of records. In Acts 3:12, when Peter's talking about it, he said, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, that same God read about in Isaiah, that God of all gods, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness." Okay? Perfect soundness. Jesus Christ does not do half a job, right? Perfect soundness in the presence of you all. These are the kind of records we keep in our mind. We don't settle for less than what the Word of God says. When the Word says healing, it means healing, right? Perfect soundness. That's what it says. God doesn't make mistakes. "Well, that's good enough, God." No, it's not. Don't settle for less than what the Word of God says, right? Why would you? Then we're saying, well, Jesus Christ's sacrifice wasn't enough. Let's bring him back up from the dead, and like it says in Romans, and let's crucify him again, right? Let's do it again. Right? Perfect soundness in the presence. I love it. What a great. Why did God put that in there? Perfect soundness. He didn't say he could finally hobble around again. No, perfect soundness. Leaping, walking, praising, hugging these guys, right? In Acts 4:9, the same record talking about, it says, "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you pretty good, whole," right? Perfectly whole. Stands before you whole. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, right? For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The name of Jesus Christ brings deliverance from sin and from sickness and disease. Perfect soundness, perfect wholeness. And we'll close in 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, there are a lot of records that, you know, I'm sure you have your favorites that you'd like to keep in your mind. But my exhortation, my encouragement to you, to myself, to all of us, is to continue to keep the records in our minds. And, you know, and again, like that, you know, we're talking, that you were talking about the unjust judge, I think last week, you know, where Mommy were talking about that, you know, that widow, a woman that got cheated, you know, by like a widow woman that God cheated. We don't stop until we see what the Word of God says. That's it. I'm not stopping. What's the point of stopping? What's the alternative? We just read in Acts chapter 4. There is none other name. There's no alternative. Right? Even unbelievers in the Old Testament, there's no God that delivers after this sort. Daniel's God, that's the God. That's the one we want to worship from now on. Right? And don't let anybody else worship any other God. Right? He's it. This is what we came. This is what we've always wanted our whole lives, right? We've got it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, again, the two aspects. Who his own self, Jesus Christ, bare our sins. There it is. Bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And again, by whose stripes ye were healed. The healing accomplished already by the work of Jesus Christ. Right? So, you know, we're going to have a healing, we're going to have a communion service downstairs after this. just to keep in our minds, right? It's to recognize and show the Lord's death until he comes, to recognize that, thank you, God, for having forgiven all of our sins, right, that we have committed or ever will commit. And thank you, God, for having made available healing by the work of Jesus Christ whenever it is required. And you know, when we go to times like that, or when we go to times in our own lives and reading God's word, to keep in our mind that God is, right? He's the God of all gods, right? Who brings the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity, right? All nations before him, and all the things that people in the world count to be of such high acclaim before God are nothing. And he's the God that, as we wait upon him, he's the one that will cause you to mount up with wings as eagles, right? All those things you keep in your mind, repeat to yourself. And to say, to heck with experience, to heck with what the world wants to do, and say, I want to go with what the Word of God says. Because it's the Word, nothing but the Word. There is no alternative, right? So that's it. God bless you guys in the phone lines. We'll... We're going to go ahead and do have a community.